I don't want to take too much time today. You've already heard a tremendous message in song and through the narration, and frankly, I just want to confirm that in the few words that I have to share with you this morning. Just want to take 10 or 15 minutes to delve into the fact that Jesus Christ is our hope. And especially this year, we are confronted by things that in our eyes and minds might make life a little hopeless. And you know what I'm talking about. I mean, what kinds of things would drive people to hopelessness in our world today? I mean, the news doesn't let you forget that there's the daily fear of infection, the shuttering of businesses, loss of jobs, the monotony of isolation, world tensions, natural disasters, a divided nation, political uncertainty. I mean, all the places you used to look for hope are gone. Is there any hope left? Is there anything remaining that you and I can depend upon? And before we conclude our morning together, I would like to help you understand something about hope. Now, when we typically think of hope in our vernacular, we think of it as a possibility. Now, I hope I can get together with family this Christmas. I hope this COVID vaccine works. I hope things will get back to some semblance of normalcy. But the truth is, that kind of hope is anything but certain. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. There's always the possibility that what you are hoping for may well not happen. But when you read about hope in the Bible, you do not find something that is just a possibility. Hope in the Bible is not described as a possibility or a probability. When the Bible talks about hope, it talks about something that is certain. Because the hope we find in the Bible does not result from the economy. It does not result from the state of our health. The hope God's word describes is not based on who's in political office or even the freedoms we have as Christians, as Americans even. The hope we read about in the Bible is centered around a person. And the coming of this person had been anticipated for a long time by God's people. I mean, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, speaking on behalf of the Lord, had foretold the future coming of this person in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Isaiah says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive, shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." And around 700 years later, a young Jewish girl by the name of Mary was visited by an angel from the Lord. And we read about this in Luke 1. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man? I'm a virgin.' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And as you probably know, this child, which had been prophesied about nearly 700 years ago, was born of the Virgin Mary. But there was a significant difference between this baby and every other baby that has ever been born. This baby was not only human, he was also divine. 100% man, 100% God. And as we think about that first Christmas long ago, we must not simply think about a cute little infant surrounded by shepherds, wise men, donkeys, sheep, and cows. In that little baby was bound up the hope of the entire human race. Because this baby was here for a purpose. And his name itself reveals why this baby, fully God and fully man, was born. Because what was his name? It was Jesus. You know what Jesus means? It means the Lord saves. And that's exactly why Jesus came to earth. Matthew 1:21 tells us that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the Bible says in Romans 3. And because we have sinned, the penalty of that sin, Romans 6 says, is death. And there is nothing that you or I can do to pay in full the debt that we owe because of our sin. Our destiny is to be punished in hell for all eternity for our sin against the eternal, holy God, because that is what we deserve. So my friend, you and I are without hope in this world, and it's because of our sin. You think COVID is bad? You think death is bad? Forever paying the debt of our sin, separated from God, suffering torment forever, will be far, far worse. And we cannot keep this from happening. We cannot stop that. That is our destiny. But there's someone who can stop that. God can stop that. And God in his love has provided a way. John 3 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." In this is love, John goes on to say in the first letter that he writes, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. When you think of the baby in the manger, you need to know something. That baby is the only way you can be saved from the punishment you deserve. That baby is the only way you can be freed from the hopelessness of your sin. Because the baby Jesus grew to adulthood. And he lived a perfect life of obedience to God's law. Something you and I could never do. And Jesus, fully God, fully man, was taken by sinful men like you and me, was nailed to a Roman cross, and died for our sin. He became our perfect substitute, paying with his perfectly righteous life the sin debt that you and I owed to God. His death paid the eternal penalty for our sins that we deserve to pay. The body of Jesus was then taken down from the cross, was wrapped in strips of linen cloth, and was laid in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. And in his death, he had paid the penalty of our sin. With his resurrection, he broke the power of sin and death. He ascended to heaven and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. And now he calls to all who are weighed down with the hopeless despair of sin. And he says, "Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." My friend, your only hope in this world and the next is Jesus and him alone. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved from your sin. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." There is no good thing that you or I can do to escape the hopelessness and the fear that the destiny of our sin brings. Sin will bring about not just physical death, which we all will face, but without Jesus, we will face eternal death, separated forever from the only one who could save us. My friend, Jesus came to save you and me. So friend, if you are here today and you are bound by the hopelessness of sin, repent. Turn from your sin. Turn to the only one who can save you. Believe that Jesus is the only one who can save you from the hopelessness of sin, and Jesus will save you. Jesus is our only hope. He is your only hope. Won't you turn from your sin to Jesus Christ today?